Tonight, we had one of the biggest Raw crowds of the entire year. Over 12,000 people in Edmonton, Alberta. We also had the latest tease, or I should say teases, in the White Rabbit mystery. For those of you who have been following along, all of the clues, all of the hints, last week was the most obvious one yet, that Bray Wyatt is on his way back to WWE. And tonight, we got actually multiple hints. There was another QR code on the show tonight, and I've tried to keep track of everything that I noticed and that other people have noticed. There's about three or four different things, so we're going to go through what that is. And it was also a night of long matches. That really was what highlighted the show tonight, a lot of long matches. We had about four 20-minute matches on tonight's show. We had the opener with Bianca Belair and Io Sky, which was, I thought, the weakest of all of them. We had Seth Rollins one-on-one against Rey Mysterio. Old rivals find themselves back in the ring. Reminds me of their feud back during the pandemic shows, a period of time I would like to forget about. But they had a match tonight. We had the Honorary Uso, my favorite in all of WWE right now, the Honorary Uso, Sami Zayn, representing the Bloodline on television tonight, one-on-one against AJ Styles. And we had a main event tonight of Matt Riddle one-on-one with Damian Priest of the Judgment Day, highlighted by the return of Edge. Of course, they were in Canada, so they waited until they went up north. Edge made his return tonight, and he issued a challenge to Finn Balor for an I Quit match at Extreme Rules, a card that is taking shape very nicely. We have a lot of stipulations and gimmick matches on that show. We have one Extreme Rules match, which is Liv Morgan against Ronda Rousey. But we have a whole bunch of matches now with various stipulations on the card, which is shaping up nicely. We also had the WWE debut tonight of Panda Express for the first time ever in a WWE ring. We had Kevin Owens and Johnny Gargano as tag team partners tonight. And Johnny Gargano's significant other made her return to WWE in her Monday Night Raw debut, Candice LeRae. Much like Johnny, they managed to keep his debut under wraps. Nobody knew he was going to be debuting when he did. They all thought it was going to be in Cleveland, and then they waited 2 weeks, and they did. I think they were in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. I think the last time Raw was in Canada a few weeks ago might have been when Johnny Gargano made his debut on Raw. Tonight it was Candice LeRae, who we have not seen in well over a year. She made her in-ring Monday Night Raw debut. So a lot to unpack here. This is your Monday Night Raw review for Monday, September 26, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. I want to thank all of you for getting me to 71,000 subscribers on this channel. I thank you. If you are new here, do hit that sub button so we can get you on in here. And you can be part of the March to 72. That is the next goal. We hit 70, now we hit 71, now we got to get up to 72,000. Super chats are open. I'll be reading your messages a little bit later on, as I always do. You guys know the drill. And let's see if we can get to 600 likes or more. That is the goal tonight for the Be the Booker segment later on. If we hit 600 likes during this live stream, we will do Be the Booker later on. And the mods will be reminding you here as we go forward, because that is the only time I am going to be mentioning it here. Also, one other quick note. I want you guys to mark it down. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. That's October 5th. Next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern is going to be the next watch-along on the channel. October 5th is a very important date because it is 25 years since the very first Hell in a Cell match of Bad Blood between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. And it's also the debut of Kane, the greatest debut of all time in WWE. Very historically important show. And so I thought on the 25-year anniversary, let's do a watch-along of what I believe to be one of the greatest matches in company history. Exactly where it ranks, top five, maybe. It's pretty damn good. And I haven't watched it in a very long time. So if you're going to be able to hang out on a Wednesday afternoon, we'll have the chat open for members only, but everybody else can join, so that'll be fun. Next Wednesday, mark that down, 1 p.m. Eastern. So let's get into Raw here tonight. Hey, Dr. Dakota Scorpio, thank you for that super chat. And Tripod and everybody else dropping donos. We'll hang out a little bit later. Raw open tonight with the ladies. We have the Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair, out with her, I guess, her BFFs now, Asuka and Alexa Bliss, for a promo. And Bianca talked about Bayley getting help from Io Sky and Dakota Kai, and she wished her luck in the match at Extreme Rules because Asuka and Alexa Bliss would have her back. Damage Control came out, Bayley, Io Sky, Dakota Kai. Bayley said that Bianca was chosen, whereas she did it all by herself, all of her success. Bianca said that nobody handed her anything. She said that she's been showing up and showing out. Bayley boasted that she pinned Bianca at Clash at the Castle, the first person to do so in more than 300 days. Bayley said that she wants to win the Raw Women's Championship in a ladder match at Extreme Rules. So that is a new stipulation that has now been added to that match. It will be a ladder match. Bianca accepted and said that if she can't get Bayley tonight, then she'll have to get one of her girls. And she looked over at Io Sky, and that led into the opening match of the night, which was Bianca Belair one-on-one against Io Sky. Hey, Fort G just became a sound-off superstar. What's going on, Fort G? Welcome to the channel. See, he'll be able to be part of our members-only chat on that watch-along next week. He can hang out with all of us and ask questions. It's going to be fun. So they went to a break 10 seconds into this match. This is a nasty little pattern that I'm noticing more of on these shows. The match begins 10, 15 seconds later, we go to a commercial. After a second break is when the match really started to pick up. I thought that the first part of this was actually pretty boring. But coming out of that break, we had an SUV that pulled up backstage. And the SUV pulled in, and out of the car came Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn, who was talking to somebody on his cell phone. He was sounding like a big hotshot. We didn't know who he was talking to. I like how they basically have Solo. I mean, everyone's like, oh, I love how Solo Sikoa, he's such a great friend of Sami Zayn's. And it's like, I look at this a little bit differently. I see it as, it's the bloodline keeping tabs on Sami to make sure he stays in check and doesn't do anything to disrespect them or dishonor them. So it's almost like he's Sami's guardian. That's kind of how I look at it. So I kind of get a kick out of that whole dynamic because Sami, of course, thinks that they're fast friends. And Lorray just became a channel member, not to be confused with Candace. This is spelled a little bit different, but Lorray is now one of our channel members. We'll talk about another Lorray a little bit later on in the show. She's not a channel member. Maybe she is. Maybe she is under an assumed name. I don't know. So Io stuffed a KOD attempt. She went for a top rope crossbody. Belair rolled through, performed a fallaway slam for a near fall. Io went up top. Bianca shoved her onto her partners on the floor, who kind of, you know, they caught her on the way down. But then Bianca dove out over the top and took them all out. A short time later, Bianca hit the KOD and she got the three count. They gave them 18 minutes. I thought this was pretty average stuff overall. First half was kind of boring. It picked up a little bit in the second half. But of all the long matches that we had on the show tonight, this was by far, I thought, the weakest of all four of them. So here's the other thing that kind of annoyed me. We had Raquel on SmackDown on Friday pin Dakota Kai in under 90 seconds. It did not even take her 90 seconds to pin one half of the women's tag team champions. That was on Friday. Tonight here on Raw, we had Bianca Belair pinning Io Sky. And you wonder why this damage control thing has been so underwhelming. It's because of booking like this. This is part of the reason why. And look, I'm not saying I would have had Io pin Bianca Belair on the show. I would not have. I would not have done the match. But I get it. You know, Bianca's the Raw Women's Champion. She shouldn't be taking any pins before the pay-per-view. And look, Bayley said it in her promo. She's the only woman in 300 days to pin Bianca Belair, whether it's a singles match or a tag match. So, you know, Bianca is one of the more protected people on this brand, or really in the entire company. And so I'm not saying Io Sky should have beaten her, but what I'm saying is there should have been some more thought given to the fact that we're going to beat both of our women's tag team champions on back-to-back shows. That doesn't make any sense. Unless Raquel and Bianca are suddenly going to be a tag team, which they're not going to be, and they're going to go after the tag team titles, they should not have had Dakota Kai losing on Friday and Io Sky losing here tonight. This whole damage control thing is... it's just not working. It's just not working for me. I like all three women individually. Yeah, I was a big fan of Io, you know, back in NXT. Dakota is very good. I thought she got the shaft when she didn't get the main roster call up the first time, and then she ended up leaving the company. We know what Bayley is capable of. Even Bayley just doesn't... It doesn't feel the same ever since she came back from the injury. There's just something off. There's something missing here. But look, Triple H, for all the praise I've heaped upon Triple H for a lot of his creative decisions, we talked about War Games on Sunday when on the podcast. That was the lead story. I'm very happy that Triple H was able to bring War Games to the main roster, something that should have happened a very long time ago. And he's brought back certain people who deserve a second chance, and he's making moves. And it has created a fresher product and given people, I think, a reason to finally be excited for the first time in a very long time about the WWE product. But Triple H is not a miracle worker. Triple H is not perfect. He is not infallible. Nobody is. No promoter is. Triple H is making the same mistakes that Vince McMahon made when it comes to the women's tag team titles. The women's tag team titles are in the exact same position they were in before under Vince McMahon. They are no better off so far under Triple H. He has not done anything to rehab these titles and make them something that is worth fighting for, that people should really give a shit about. So again, this whole damage control thing so far has been a fail. Backstage, Rey Mysterio was being interviewed by Kevin Patrick. Rey talked about holding his newborn child in his hands back when Dom was a wee little baby, and how he still loves his son, and he doesn't even recognize the man that Dominic has become. He said, it's Rhea Ripley. She is manipulating him. I bet there's a lot of people in the chat right now who would love to be manipulated by Rhea Ripley. There's a lot of people out there, male and female, who would love to be manipulated by Rhea Ripley. So he's blaming Rhea for Dominic's change, and he turned his attention to his match tonight with Seth Rollins. He said, look, I might have mercy for my own flesh and blood, but I will have no mercy for Seth Rollins. So then we cut to a backstage segment with The Miz, and he was walking by an Edmonton Oilers display in the back. They had, I don't know if it was like a trophy case or jerseys. It was like a whole shrine to the Edmonton Oilers. Right, I guess that arena they were in tonight, it's the home of the Oilers. I think at one point, either Jimmy Smith or Corey Graves called it the house that Gretzky built. The house that Wayne Gretzky built. How many years prior to this building being constructed did Wayne Gretzky retire? Because I'm not a big hockey guy, but I was wondering about, because I feel like Gretzky's been retired for many, many, many years, and I thought this was kind of a... not necessarily a brand new building, but kind of a newer building. I mean, I don't know. It just sounded a little weird to me. Did Gretzky play any games in this building? Is it truly a building that he helped, you know, build during the course of his career? I need somebody to fill me in on that. I don't know my Oilers history. I barely know the Rangers history. I know they won the Stanley Cup in 94. That's about all I know. So the Miz is backstage, and he is talking to a group of security guards, and he is offering them a prize pack, a prize package. I sound like I'm on The Price Is Right now. He's offering a prize package of up to $1 million, including an exclusive cameo and a spinoff of The Marine, gift cards, and career advice from himself. And he said that he does not want big and bulky security. He wants guys that are smart and stealthy. So he got them to chant Miz Force. And then he told them to go find he who shall not be named. That's what they're calling CM Punk these days in AEW. He is he who shall not be named. So I'm being told that Wayne Gretzky did not play in this building. And this is not, in fact, a building. This is not an arena that Wayne Gretzky helped build. You'll learn something new tonight. Seth Rollins made his entrance, and they played footage of his U.S. title match on Raw last week with Bobby Lashley when Matt Riddle cost him the championship. And then later on, they had a pull apart backstage, and Rollins said, "Fine, you want a rematch? I'll give you one." And Riddle said, "I want you in the fight pit at Extreme Rules." And if you missed my segment on that whole thing from the podcast on Sunday, you can go check it out. The clip is up on YouTube. I made the whole pitch why that Triple H should be getting on the phone to call Ken Shamrock to come in to be the special guest referee for the fight pit at Extreme Rules. They had Kurt Angle as the guest referee for the very first one in NXT. I don't understand what the issue has been over the years with Shamrock and WWE and why he was never invited back. Do they have to do this? Of course they don't have to. They don't ever have to talk to Ken Shamrock again. I think it would be cool to get him in there, make him a referee, maybe put him in the Hall of Fame next year. So Rollins said that he should be the new U.S. champion right now, but he's not because of Matt Riddle. And he said that had Lashley, had it been one-on-one, him and Lashley, he had the guy dead to rights. Riddle forced him to take his eye off the ball. Rollins said that he and Riddle would finish it once and for all inside the fight pit. And Rollins said that nobody thinks he stands a chance inside the fight pit because everybody thinks that it's Riddle's match. And I should alert all of you that Matt Riddle, for those who did not watch NXT or don't remember, Matt Riddle has been in exactly one fight pit match, which was the very first one against Timothy Thatcher, and he lost. So it's a little odd to say that this is Matt Riddle's match. Everybody says it's Matt Riddle's match. Yeah, he had one fight pit and he fucking lost. I would hardly call it Matt Riddle's match. Rollins said that he's been in all sorts of matches and he's won them all. He didn't beat the Fiend inside Hell in a Cell now, did he? Can't say that. He said that this might be his first time inside the fight pit. But when it's over, Riddle will be on his back, and everybody will dub him the King of the Fight Pit. And he said that he was going to give Ray the beating that he would not give his own son. So we had Seth Rollins one-on-one with Rey Mysterio. Old rivals, let us never forget the horror show at Extreme Rules and the gumball that Seth popped out of Rey Mysterio's eye socket. You all remember that, don't you? We were live on YouTube that night talking about that very match with the fucking gumball coming out of his eye. That's right, Seth Rollins popped out Rey Mysterio's eye in that match. And then Seth Rollins, seeing what he had just done, started throwing up all over ringside. I, too, was throwing up that night, although for very different reasons. So after a break, the match was joined already in progress. Rollins was bleeding from a cut on his forehead. I believe it happened on the spot they showed a replay of during the break where Ray drove him face first into the ring steps. Yeah, and they didn't shy away from it. They even zoomed in on his head at one point. You saw the cut with the blood. The referee had the gloves on. So in the middle of this match, all of a sudden out walks Dominic Mysterio. And he had a chair in his hand and he's making his way down to the ring, and a QR code quickly flashed across the screen as he was coming out. That QR code, if you go to it, takes you to a private video on TikTok. So now here's where we're going to get into the White Rabbit stuff here, because this happened in the middle of this match. So the QR code takes you to a private video on TikTok. And in the video, says, "Who killed the world?" The answer, of course, is you did. We talked about this in one of the previous videos where they were playing a game of Hangman, and that was the clue that was spelled out. Who killed the world? You did. Only in this case, they were using old clips of wrestlers from ECW and the Attitude Era and the PG era, just various clips of wrestlers saying the words, but like splicing them all together. So we had The Rock, and we had Randy Orton, we had Papa Shango was in there, we had Road Dogg, Kurt Angle. There was also a disguised voice from a mystery man who may well be the White Rabbit, who said the words, "You did." There were lots of random clips of people like RVD and Sandman and Edge. They strung together a few more clips of people, including John Cena, The Undertaker, Al Snow, Diesel, Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is like a Royal Rumble roster here that we're going through. Diesel, Stone Cold, Cody Rhodes, all saying, "Feed your head." Again, they're taking the words out of their mouth and kind of stringing it together to say, "Feed your head," which ties back to the lyrics of the Jefferson Airplane song, White Rabbit. So then at the very end of this video, they flash the number 40701. 40701, which is the zip code for a town in Kentucky called Corbin, Kentucky. And all you people in the chat earlier talking about how, oh, the White Rabbit is Baron Corbin. God help us all. No, the White Rabbit is not Baron Corbin. It has nothing to do with Baron Corbin. It has nothing to do with Baron Corbin, Happy Corbin, Bum-Ass Corbin, Lone Wolf Corbin, Corbin Burnson. Has nothing to do with any of them. What's interesting, though, because I'm trying to keep track of all the different clues. There were like so many of them. And all the social media detectives are trying to piece it together and figure out what it all means, right? So again, we have that number that was in the video. But what's interesting about this is that in Corbin, Kentucky, which is a town in Kentucky, there is a vinyl record shop called White Rabbit Records. Actually, more specifically, it's called White Rabbit Skate Shop. Okay, so that's a real place. It's a real place in Corbin, Kentucky. White Rabbit Skate Shop. But it gets better. So there is a White Rabbit Records YouTube channel. And this channel was established back in 2006. This was not set up in the last few weeks. Okay, so this channel has existed since 2006. The earliest video on the channel was posted 15 years ago in 2007. Same year I started the Sound Off, 2007. Would you like to take a guess as to what that video is that was posted on this channel in 2007? It was the music video for the song White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. So that was the only video on the channel. Unless there were more and they deleted all of them, but that's the only video on the channel until tonight. 2 hours ago, for the first time it looks like in 15 years, there was a new clip posted to that YouTube channel. And this clip, it's just a 3-second video. That's all it is. And now it's showing a different number. The number it's showing in this video is 04062. Okay, so this is a different number than the one that was in the QR code video. 04062 is the zip code for a place called Windham, Maine. A town in the state of Maine that happens to be called Windham. This is next level shit from Bray. I love this. I love this shit. It's a wild fucking goose chase. And there's always the chance it will lead to absolutely nothing. I mean, it's going to be, this is all for Bray, but I think people looking into it, like, will this all mean something? Like, once he comes back, is all of this going to make sense? The answer probably is no, as is usually the case with these things. But I love it. I love it. I think I said this, you know, last weekend. I said it's clever and it's smart because it keeps people who are into this shit, it keeps them engaged in the shows. Right, you needed to watch the show to know that when Dominic Mysterio came out, hey, there's another QR code. Let's go check it out and see where it leads. And then it leads to all kinds of different things, and people go nuts for this shit. So I think it's fun. And I will point out that Sean Ross Sapp tweeted, in the HTML code of the White Rabbit page, I think he was referring to the TikTok video, there is a, in the line of code, literally in the HTML code, of this page are the lines, "No man is ever truly good, no man is ever truly evil." Those happen to be the opening lyrics to the song Root of All Evil by Code Orange, which was Aleister Black's theme song when he was in WWE. And those are the two lines that are buried in the HTML code on that page. So basically, somebody decided to have a lot of fun with all of the news that's been going around over the last couple of weeks with Malachi and the House of Black. And they just decided to, get people's gears going and have some fun with it. That's all it is. People are talking about, oh, it's Baron Corbin. Oh, this is a sign that Malachi Black is coming back to WWE. He's the White Rabbit. No, he's not. They're fucking with you. They're fucking with you. Now, one last part of all this. In that original video from the QR code they put on screen here when Dominic came out, they had another set of latitude and longitude coordinates. And those coordinates from the QR code take you to an art installation over in Italy. So now we're leaving the States and we're going overseas. Those coordinates, when you punch them in online, you put them into Google, this right here on your screen is what you see. This is, I don't know exactly what the name of the town or city or village or whatever the hell it might be, but it's in Italy. And this is a shot, maybe a drone shot from above, of a giant pink bunny. That is a giant pink rabbit. That is fucking freaky is what that is. I don't think that's a balloon. I don't know what that is, actually. I don't know if that's a giant balloon. I don't know what that's made of. I see people standing on top of it. Look at it. Look at the chest. Look at the chest. I see two people standing on top of the pink bunny. So I don't know what the pink bunny stands for. I don't know what the pink bunny represents. But there you go. So that was the other... What a weird fucking thing. It's like the eye. Look at the eyes on this thing. Looks like Sloth from the Goonies. You got one eye up here. You got one eye down there. I don't know what this fucking means. This is freaking me out. But again, I find stuff like this to be fun. Some people don't get it. Some people think it's stupid. Some people think it's annoying. A lot of people are going to be very annoyed because they want the reveal. They go, where's Bray? How come, you know, they're dragging this out? I would expect there to be some kind of payoff or reveal to this at the pay-per-view. I think they're just holding off until Extreme Rules. I did point out on Sunday, that Raw happens to fall on Halloween this year. So if they really wanted to piss people off, they could drag this out for another 5 weeks, you know, four weeks, and have him reveal himself on Halloween. But I don't know that people are going to want to wait that long. So I'm expecting something at Extreme Rules. We'll see. We'll see. But what Triple H is doing here, Triple H and Bray, I think is very smart because it's a way to keep people engaged, not just on social media, but just watching the shows because you want to make sure you don't miss anything. So anyway, there was a match going on. Back to the match. I find this more fascinating than the match. Rollins attempted the Three Amigos, but Ray countered the last suplex into a DDT. Ray also countered a buckle bomb, sent Rollins into the turnbuckles with a Hurricanrana. Ray followed with the seated senton and a springboard crossbody for two. He hit a sliding splash to the outside onto Rollins. And Ray followed with another splash in the ring for a near fall. The fans all of a sudden randomly started chanting, Dom is useless. So the fans in Canada here, the fans in Edmonton, they have no use for Dominic Mysterio. I mean, I've heard some pretty brutal chants before. I've heard you suck, right? Or fuck you, asshole. Like, we've had all these mean chants, but I don't know, to call somebody useless, that's a next level. That just cuts deep. You know what I mean? Like, it cuts right to the bone. They're not just chanting you suck, we hate you. They're saying you're useless. So I don't know where that came from, but I laughed. Dominic again dared his father to hit him. He got down on his knees. He wanted his father to go ahead and hit him with a chair. Rollins distracted the referee. Rhea Ripley showed up. She shoved Ray. She pushed him forward into the ring post. Dominic pushed Ray back into the ring, and Rollins gave Ray the curb stomp before applying the Peruvian necktie, we were told. The Peruvian necktie submission. That put Ray out. And the referee stopped the match. Another long match with similar interference that we had in the opener, but this was better than the opening match. So to the back, Matt Riddle is watching all of this. And Matt Riddle was doing something that I rarely see here on Monday Night Raw. He was watching this on a giant screen from a normal human angle. He was watching the television screen like a normal person would be. He was not standing on the side of it. He was actually staring at it dead on, to where when Bobby Lashley came up behind him, it kind of startled him because his back was turned and he didn't see him coming like a normal fucking person. I appreciate that. So Bobby Lashley showed up. He wished Riddle good luck in his matches, the one tonight with Damian Priest and the match with Seth Rollins at Extreme Rules. He put over the fight pit. He noted that you either tap out or get knocked out in that match. Lashley also told Riddle that he knew he wanted to help him last week when he came out during Bobby's match with Seth to distract Seth. He knows what he was trying to do, but he told him, don't ever do that again. And Riddle apologized, and they shared a fist bump. Elsewhere in the back, Kevin Owens and Johnny Gargano were shown walking to the ring for their upcoming match when they stumbled upon one of the members of the Miz Force, which is what Miz was calling all of his security geeks here on this show. One of the members of the Miz Force was down on the ground. Owens laughed. They left his dead body and they continued on their walk to the ring. So next up, it was the Alpha Academy taking on the Panda Express. And I told you the story of the Panda Express. They had Byron Saxton tonight tell a version of that story, with Owens and Gargano meeting one another 10 years ago on a tour of Germany. He said they bonded over their mutual love of pandas and wrestling, and Corey Graves wondered if they also bonded over celibacy. And then he told Byron Saxton that he should be hanging out in Reseda with all of the other dorks. Yet another PWG reference here on WWE television, at least the second one that we've had in the last few weeks. That's reference number two to PWG. Maybe this is a different kind of forbidden door that's opening up here. So Gargano got the better of Gable at the beginning here. Otis, though, tagged in. He overpowered him with a press slam. Owens applied a sharpshooter at one point, which got a big pop out of the Canadian crowd. Corey Graves on commentary said, no, it's a scorpion deathlock, which is like sacrilege to say that here in Canada. He also hit a top rope swanton bomb on Gable for a near fall. Owens had Otis laid out on the announce desk at one point, jumped up on the barricade, and came off with a diving elbow through the table. That left Gargano and Gable alone in the ring. Austin Theory showed up with his Money in the Bank briefcase. He distracted Gargano. Gable hit a cliffhanger DDT on Gargano, who ended up outside the ring. And with the referee distracted, Austin Theory snuck up behind Gargano. He was going to hit him with the briefcase. Gargano ducked it. Super kick Theory. Back inside the ring, Gargano put down Gable with the one final beat DDT. Great sell on that by Chad Gable. And he got the win. Owens was over with the Canadian crowd, but this was no Sami Zayn in Montreal reaction. Remember a few weeks ago on SmackDown? They were up in Montreal, and Sami Zayn got just, I mean, you talk about a hero's welcome. This was not that. Although, to be fair, Sammy is from Montreal. Kevin Owens is not from Edmonton. He's from Canada, but he's not from Edmonton. So it's not exactly the same thing. So, yes, he was very over with the crowd tonight, but not quite at that level that Sammy was on SmackDown a few weeks ago. I don't know whose Cheerios he pissed in, but Austin Theory has been booked like a fucking fool ever since SummerSlam. You know, he tried to interfere in that main event at SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. He got F5. He tried to get involved in Clash at the Castle in the main event with Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. He got sucker punched by, maybe not sucker punched, but he got punched in the face by Tyson Fury. He's lost a bunch of matches on TV. Tonight, he was trying to give Johnny Gargano a taste of his own medicine because Gargano had distracted him last week. Couldn't even do that. It backfired. He ends up getting super kicked and laid out. I mean, they can't make this guy look any more like a fucking fool if they tried. So I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, Austin Theory, is he's got the briefcase. He's got the briefcase, but he is not exactly being booked like a future world heavyweight champion would be booked. So backstage, we had a disappointed Theory talking with Gable and Otis. Gable blamed their loss on having to deal with that idiot Braun Strowman on SmackDown last week. It was a match on SmackDown between Braun Strowman and Otis, which was actually a lot of fun. And so Gable was saying, you know, Otis still wasn't quite recovered from that match. All of a sudden, as Theory is talking, his phone begins to vibrate. And he looks at his phone and he has no idea who's calling him. And he answers the phone and he goes to Gable, "It's for you." So he's getting a call on his phone, but it's for Chad Gable. So he hands the phone over to Gable, who puts it on speakerphone so we could all hear it. And it's Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman tells Gable that he's coming to Raw next week in Gable's hometown of St. Paul, Minnesota. He said that he wanted to face him there so that they wouldn't have to fly Gable's body home for the funeral. And Theory, after the call ended, Theory then told Otis that he would be facing Johnny Gargano next week, and he would put an end to him once and for all. So Otis was excited about the match with Johnny next week, and Gable had a look on his face like he was scared shitless because he's going to have to step in there with Braun Strowman. I like how Braun Strowman has been back in this company for all of 2 weeks, and evidently, he just so happens that he has Austin Theory's cell phone number. Logic? Nah, of course not. Of course not. But, you know, very stupid. But anyway, who day? Hey, he gets around, right? Maybe the first thing he did on day one, he shook everybody's hand. He said, "Let me get your phone number. I want to make you my emergency contact. Let me get your phone number just in case of anything." I did that at the office back when everybody still went to an office. Right, you want to make sure you get at least some of your coworkers' phone numbers, especially if you're in a smaller office, right? It kind of makes sense. But did Braun really go around to every member of the roster so he can get their name and put them in his phone? Maybe he did. Maybe that's just the kind of guy he is. So we had Omos. I thought the show was going well. But then we had Omos. Haven't seen Omos in a while. I've been okay with that. In fact, I haven't even noticed that he's been gone. But I notice when he's back. He was in a handicap match. I didn't get the names of the people that he destroyed here this week. We'll call them Beavis and Butthead. 2-on-1 handicap match. He beat them quickly, and he stacked them up one on top of the other on top of the newly constructed announce desk, which had been destroyed by Kevin Owens in the previous match. They had rebuilt it, and Corey Graves saw them. He saw Omos coming and putting them on top of the table and said, "We just rebuilt the table." So he didn't destroy the table. He just put them on top of it, and then Omos climbed on top of the table and stood over their dead bodies, but he did not destroy the table. In the back, The Miz was back in front of that Oilers display, and he looks, and the camera pans over, and we see all of the security geeks, and they have been laid out in various positions on the floor. They have been killed. And Miz can't believe it. Of course, standing behind Miz, what we were supposed to believe was a statue of someone in an Oilers costume with the goalie mask holding a hockey stick, turns out not to be a statue. Guy pulls the mask off, drops the gloves. It's Dexter Lumis. Miz does the slow turn because he can feel the presence of somebody behind him. And he does the dramatic slow turn. He sees that it's Dexter Lumis, and Lumis hits Miz in the gut with the hockey stick and then breaks the hockey stick across his back. Dexter sits down on the ground right next to him, and then he applies a head and arm choke until Miz goes to sleep. And then he begins to stroke Miz's head until they fade to a break. This is getting very old, very fast, this whole Lumis and Miz story. The problem with the Dexter Lumis character, and I said this back in NXT, the problem with the Dexter Lumis character is that you need to evolve it, and they never did. Now, he was still entertaining when he was doing the stuff with Indy Hartwell, and literally the only time we ever heard the Dexter Lumis character speak that I can remember were the two words he said during the wedding with Indy Hartwell when he said, "I do." And that was it. Otherwise, he's a mute. He doesn't speak. Now, he's got the facial expressions, and he can do some comedy stuff. At some point, that's going to get old. We've reached that point. And I said this was going to be a problem in NXT, where this is fine for now, but you've got to evolve that character at some point. They never did. I'm hoping that evolution is coming very soon, because this can't go on much longer like this. There's been nothing. There's been nothing new offered. Not even a clue. He doesn't even have to speak yet. There's been no clues as to why he is going after The Miz. Why is he on Raw going after The Miz every single week? Kidnapped him. Now he's choking him out every week. I mean, just to keep things interesting, you gotta sprinkle something new in there, and they're just not doing that. So I don't know if these two are going to end up having a match at Extreme Rules or not. I don't know how many stipulations are left to do on that show. But either by Extreme Rules or the television right after, they better take this to the next phase of this story, or I don't want to see this anymore, because this is getting very tiresome now. We had Nikki A.S.H. Speaking of tiresome gimmicks, Nikki A.S.H., she is still almost a superhero, although after tonight, maybe she won't be, after what happened here in this match. She was in the ring getting ready for her opponent. We had no idea who her opponent was going to be. Apparently, neither did she, because she was very shocked when this person came out. Her opponent turned out to be the returning Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae, the former NXT Women's Tag Team Champion, one half of the Tag Team Champions. That was a nice surprise, and I think she will make a nice addition to the women's division, right? Well, one of my criticisms of the women's division on Raw and SmackDown for the longest time, going back to the Vince McMahon days, was that they needed some new faces. They called up Raquel, but they still needed some new faces. Well, now we have Io Sky, we have Dakota Kai, now we have Candice LeRae, Becky should be back soon. We'll see what happens with Sasha and Naomi. Nobody's talking about Sasha and Naomi anymore, but if they're going to come back anywhere, it's going to be WWE. And they're doing a women's War Games match at Survivor Series. I would think if they were going to come back, especially Sasha, she would probably want to be part of that. So they've done a good job so far of at least introducing some new faces. Now the question is, what do you do with those new faces? Again, I'm not at all excited about this damage control stuff so far. It's not irredeemable. It's just not good. So now Candice LeRae is going to get her chance on the main roster. She didn't get much of a reaction, though, here. I don't think that too many people knew who she was. Corey Graves called her Mrs. Wrestling, which was the only reference to her and Johnny Gargano being an item. And Graves kept repeatedly calling her the Poison Pixie. He must have called her this at least 4 or 5 times. The Poison Pixie. The Poison Pixie. So now we know what her nickname is. You can't forget it after tonight. She's the Poison Pixie. Pee-pee. So this was her first match in more than a year. The last time she was in the ring was the Great American Bash last year, last July. Her and Indy Hartwell lost their NXT Women's Tag Team titles. I believe it was to Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. And that was her last match before the pregnancy. She was still on television for a few months, and then after that, she disappeared. So she has not been in the ring for well over a year. And certainly not since having baby wrestling. So Candice took control early with forearm shots and punches in the corner. She put Nikki down with a backstabber. She went to the ropes. Candice won with the swinging neckbreaker from the middle rope, scored the pin. Again, this, I don't even know if this went a full 90 seconds. This did not go very long at all. Didn't have to. Should not have gone very long. She should not have been in there struggling with the almost a superhero. This was exactly the right length. They put her over. It's probably going to take a while for the audience to get familiar with her because, again, she didn't get much of a reaction. She got a respectable reaction, but nobody was going gaga for her. Even Johnny Gargano got a pretty damn hot reaction when he came out all those weeks ago. But if you didn't really pay close attention to NXT, then these fans probably would have no idea who Candice LeRae is. So it was good to see her back. Look, if they ever want to do a reunion of the way, they have all but one of the members now, not only on the main roster, but they're all on Monday Night Raw. Johnny Gargano, Candice, Dexter, Theory. So the only one missing now is Indy Hartwell. Got to get Indy Hartwell up on the main roster. After the match, Nikki sat in the corner. She pulled off her superhero mask and she cried. Good. Good. I want her to cry. Maybe it'll wake her up, right? In storyline, maybe it'll wake this woman up, since apparently Doudrop was unable to. She's still doing this horrible gimmick. The faster that we can get away from the superhero shit, the better. Problem is that they've done similar teases before. They were doing a whole storyline where Doudrop was trying to tell her, are you ready to get serious, right? And then Vince McMahon just dropped it. Triple H took over. There were some segments in the back where somebody would be doing a promo and you would see Nikki and Doudrop behind them. It was never acknowledged, but they were behind them arguing and Nikki would storm off. And I guess that's part of the long-term booking here. But you know what? It's been long-term enough. It's about time they pull the trigger and do something different with Nikki Ash. So then we had Sami Zayn, the honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. All right, that's Sami. Sami thinks he's cool. He comes out, he's putting his finger up in the air, like Sabu. He's putting his finger up in the air. He's out there with Solo Sikoa in his corner, watching his back, one-on-one with the phenomenal AJ Styles. Sami connected with a springboard moonsault to AJ on the floor heading into a break. It looked like he smacked the back of his head on the ground. And I panicked because all we need is for Sami Zayn to get injured. We don't need anybody in this bloodline storyline to get injured between now and WrestleMania. It would completely fuck everything up. We can't. We have War Games coming up in November, the Rumble, WrestleMania, which should be the payoff with Sami and KO taking the tag team titles from the Usos. Roman's on this run of 750 some odd days as the champion. Can you imagine Roman Reigns now tears a muscle? Jimmy Uso gets another DUI or blows out his other ACL. I'm not wishing it on them. I'm not trying to wish this into existence. I'm just like holding my breath. Every time I see one of the bloodline people take a big bump, don't get hurt. This is the best storyline going in wrestling. Don't get hurt. When they came back from the break, they had a graphic up on the screen promoting the match for tonight between Matt Riddle and Damian Priest. And Jimmy Smith, for the second time tonight, for the second time on this show, confused the Judgment Day for the Bloodline. And Corey Graves just very dryly had to correct him and say, no, Damian Priest is not part of the Bloodline. He's part of the Judgment. I mean, that's like confusing the Mets with the Pirates. I mean, how do you do that? The Bloodline, the Judgment Day, come on. Nobody in their right mind would confuse the Mets and the Pirates now. I mean, look at their records, for crying out loud. Pittsburgh is an embarrassment. So is Philadelphia. So AJ rallied. He went for a Styles clash. Zayn stuffed it. Styles put Sami up in the torture rack and spun him into a powerbomb. AJ covered Zayn for two. Zayn put Styles down with a blue thunder bomb. Oh, the beautiful blue thunder bomb. One of my favorite moves in all of wrestling. Zayn hit what Graves labeled a modified version of the orange crush, which led to a near fall. Sami dumped AJ to the floor, and he ran his head into the ring post. Sami dumped AJ over into the timekeeper's area, and then he rushed back into the ring. He was like, all right, I'm going to throw him over here. And I'm going to run back in and we're going to take the count out win and get the hell out of here. So he was going to be very content taking the count out victory here, but AJ made it back into the ring. He just barely beat the 10 count. So they traded forearms. Sami hit AJ with a boot to the head. Styles came right back with a Pele kick that left both men down, heading into another break. Late in the match, Sami distracted the referee. And Solo Sikoa pulled AJ out of the ring and gave him a Uranage on the ring apron. Then rolled him back inside. That allowed Sami to hit the Huluva kick and get the pin. So good stuff from these two. You know, they gave them 20 minutes, more outside interference, which was kind of the story of the night. But, you know, here it fed into the story that Solo Sikoa is there to help Sami Zayn, just like he was on SmackDown last Friday in the back when Sami was talking to Madcap Moss and Rick O'Shea, and they're having that backstage conversation. And here comes Solo Sikoa, and he, you know, beats them both down. He's like, he's the enforcer. That's what Roman Reigns called him last week. You're the enforcer. He's the Arn Anderson of the Bloodline. But I think he's there to watch Sami to make sure that he stays in check. Sammy thinks they're best friends. He's there to make sure that he don't fuck up. That's why Solo Sikoa is following Sami Zayn around everywhere he goes. Now, a word from our sponsor for this week, BetterHelp. We all deal with mental health issues of our own. Some are more serious than others. Pro athletes are no different. I saw data that up to 35% of elite athletes, and I'm not talking about Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, suffer from mental health crises of some kind that could result in stress, eating disorders, burnout, or anxiety or depression. More and more of these athletes are speaking out publicly about the importance of mental health. And that's important because it shows that everybody in the world, regardless of who you are or how much money you have or how popular you may be, you are not alone in dealing with these problems. And one way to tackle those problems, I had to work a sports pun in there somehow, is through therapy. And that's where BetterHelp Online Therapy can help you. I know people who have tried therapy before and they swear by it. It's not a one-size-fits-all. But let me tell you something. It helps to talk to someone. It can help you work through stress, anxiety, depression, all the nasty things that you may be suffering in silence with right now. BetterHelp is a great option if you are thinking about giving therapy a shot. It's convenient, it's affordable, and it's entirely online. You can get matched with a therapist right now just by filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists if you need to anytime you want. When you're ready to feel at the top of your mental health game, therapy can help get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. So AJ is still down to the ring, and here comes the Judgment Day. Finn Balor had a mic in his hand. He said, you know, can't help but think that things might have been different here for you tonight had you accepted our help. And he told AJ he was asking him as a friend to rise up and join the Judgment Day. And he put up the two sweet hand sign. Styles T's doing the same, but then instead he gave him the middle finger. And so the Judgment Day attacked AJ. They wrapped a chair around his neck, Balor T-stomping on it, but then he stopped himself. And he knelt down beside AJ and said, you know, I could have ended your career, but as a friend, I'm not going to do that. That's not what friends do. As I said on episode 775, because again, I saw on my timeline there was one person asking me if I think that this is going to pave the way for the Good Brothers to come back. This is going to pave the way for Anderson and Gallows to come back to WWE. No. I have no interest in seeing Anderson and Gallows back in WWE. But they're not coming back to WWE. Now, their Impact contracts, I believe they lapsed. So they're not technically with Impact, but I expect them back in Impact at some point. Right now, they're on tour with New Japan. Carl Anderson, I believe, is the Never Open Weight Champion. You go back to WWE, you can kiss New Japan goodbye. I don't think that's what they want to do. So, no, it's not the Good Brothers. As we saw at the end of the night, Edge is back. We'll get into that, but AJ will have help. He'll have help in Edge. He'll have help in Rey Mysterio. That, if not Extreme Rules, then that could be a Survivor Series match right there. You'll have AJ, you'll have Edge, you'll have Rey, you'll have Dominic, you'll have Balor, you'll have Priest. I mean, hell, if they want to get the women involved, you could have Edge with Beth. Beth could bring Beth back. You got Rhea. You don't need Anderson and Gallows. So Candice LeRae was in the back. She greeted Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. Said that she hopes Belair shuts up Bayley at Extreme Rules. That brought over Bayley and Io and Dakota, who had their suitcases with them. Bailey said the compliments are just jealousy in disguise, and Candice said bullies are just cowards in disguise. Bailey said something about Candice having to wait until next week to face Dakota Kai, so it looks like that might be a match next Monday. And that led into our main event here on this 3-hour extravaganza, which should not be 3 hours. I mean, Raw might be a little bit better than it used to be months ago, but it is still too fucking long. So we had Matt Riddle one-on-one with Damian Priest. This was our fourth 20-minute match of the night, and it was another good one, another good match here. They said this was the first time ever, at least in WWE, the first time ever, that these two were having a singles match. Riddle used his legs to pull Priest out over the top rope, wanted to kick him from the apron, but Balor shoved Priest out of the way, and he took the penalty kick instead. Riddle jumped off the apron right into a punch from Priest, who then performed the broken arrow onto the barricade. Riddle went on offense coming out of the commercial break, and he went to the ropes. Priest, though, recovered. He shoved him to the floor. Riddle sold his ribs on the floor upon landing. Priest picked him up, threw him back first into the barricade, heading into the final ad break of the night. Riddle performed a top rope fisherman buster coming out of that final break and covered Priest for a near fall. Short time later, Damian had Riddle up, and Riddle countered into a Broderick for a two count. Priest set up for the South of Heaven chokeslam. Riddle flipped out of it. Priest stuffed an RKO attempt, and he went for a springboard move, did Damian, but he got caught with a knee strike right to the face. Riddle dove at Priest for an RKO attempt. Priest was, I think, supposed to catch him, but he struggled. He was struggling mightily, but eventually he was able to hoist him up, and Riddle ended up countering anyway into an inside cradle, and he got the three. So it was one of these fluky cheap wins that doesn't mean anything for Riddle. It doesn't mean anything for Priest, especially when he gets the three count. Not 2 seconds later, the Judgment Day are already pouncing on him. They cut the music off. I mean, you would watch this and think back and go, wait a minute, who won the match? Like, it was so quick, you almost didn't even know who won the match. So they're beating the hell out of Riddle, and Priest put him down with the choke slam. All of a sudden, we hear Edge's music. Of course, they're in Canada, so Edge comes out. He storms to the ring, gets a big reaction. Edge ducked a Balor clothesline, speared Damian Priest. Then Edge locked eyes with Dominic, who's standing in the corner. Rhea Ripley reaches in. She pulled Dominic out of the ring. Edge speared Balor. He asked for a microphone, and he said, "You've tried to finish me over and over." You know, Edge could probably choose his words a little more carefully. Oh, Edge. Isn't that what got him in trouble back in 2005? So he said, "You've tried to finish me off over and over again, but I always come back. I always come back," he said. "He always comes back. Even if it takes me 9 years." See, now I can't. Like, now I can't get out of my head. I'm 5 years old. I'm sorry. Let's start over again. "You tried to finish me off over and over again. Over and over again. But I always come back. Even if it takes me 9 years, I come back. And I got to come back in Edmonton, in my country. You see, I don't quit. So, Finn, I'm challenging you at Extreme Rules for the first time ever. Edge versus Finn Balor in an I Quit match." See, I knew I would get through it. 9 years, that's a long time. This poor guy. Anyway, so we have an I Quit match now set for Extreme Rules. So Extreme Rules is shaping up to be a pretty good card. You've got Edge and Balor for the first time ever one-on-one with the I Quit stip. Karrion Kross, his first major match on the main roster, one-on-one strap match with Drew McIntyre. We already know Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey will have an Extreme Rules match for the SmackDown Women's title. We have Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle in the fight pit. I might be missing one, but so far those are the key matches on the show that we know. The in-ring action is really what carried the show tonight. The in-ring action was very strong. A lot of the other stuff wasn't terribly exciting, but tonight was an example, I think, of a show that is carried by the matches in the ring. And as far as that goes, I thought that this was a pretty good show. Let's take a look at the Raw poll. 71%. Thumbs up score for tonight's Monday Night Raw with almost 800 votes in so far. About 19% thumbs in the middle and 10% thumbs down. So very positive score here for Monday Night Raw. What kind of bizarro world are we living in where Monday Night Raw now is consistently getting 70% and higher thumbs up scores here in these Twitter polls? You can go vote at Solomonster, by the way. That is the place to go to follow me anyway, regardless of whether you vote or not. Always a good place to go is at Solomonster on Twitter. Oh, man, poor Edge, man. This guy, you know, you try to finish him off. And he just keeps coming and coming and coming, and it could take him 9 years. It could take him 9 years to finish coming back, but he came, and now he is going to be in an I Quit match at Extreme Rules. Jesus Christ. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Oh, boy. That's why Matt Hardy hated this guy's guts. For so many years. All right, Love Lie. Let's go to Love Lie. Miguel in the chat says, Malachi Black was on Instagram Live and he is pissed. Well, you know, people have been talking about him all week. He should be pissed with whoever in AEW leaked the conversations that he and Tony Khan were having. Evidently, he's very upset about that, too. He thought he was having private conversations with his boss and the people in AEW about whatever personal issues it is that he may be going through that caused him to ask for his release. And he expected those conversations to be kept private, but welcome to the wrestling business. Nothing ever stays private. Love Lie with the $1.99. If you were Triple H, would you get rid of WWE Studios? I would need to see how much money WWE Studios is making. If WWE Studios is not losing money and they're making money, I would keep it. If it's losing money, I would get rid of it. Shinakuma, thank you for the $5. Winter's Paw, Mother Candace back in time for War Games. Bobby's World, 2110, $10 Super Chat. Really excited for War Games at Survivor Series. As for tonight, Bailey is awesome. EO is awesome. Dakota is awesome. But together, I hate to say it, I'm just not feeling it. Yeah, I'm not feeling it either. I mean, this whole damage control thing just... it's just not connecting. It's not doing it for me. I don't know if it's the booking. Oh, I'm sure it is the booking. The booking has a lot to do with it. Maybe it's the pairing, kind of the random nature of it. But the booking, as I talked about earlier, when you have your tag team champions that are being booked to lose on back-to-back shows, I mean, what's to be excited about? Rizzo, $10 Super Chat. Wrestle OPS noted on Twitter, the QR code shows the lyrics to Malachi Black's WWE theme song. Still think it is brave, but it is interesting. It's interesting, but it means nothing. It means nothing. It's just their way of getting people to... Maybe that's why Malachi was pissed, apparently, on Instagram Live tonight. People are telling me he was on Instagram and he was very upset. All that is just a way to fuck with people. It is not Malachi Black. Malachi Black is not coming back to WWE. Tony Khan is not going to let him walk back into the open arms of Triple H when he has 4 fucking years left on his contract. But even if he was to end up back in WWE, he is not the White Rabbit. He has nothing to do with any of this. Fallout X1, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. What do you think of a female MMA background faction led by Ronda Rousey? Have Shayna Baszler and Sonya Deville in it. Sonya can be their talker. No, I don't think you need a women's MMA faction. I think you need to do something with Ronda and Shayna on TV because they're friends. People know they're friends. You don't need an entire faction. You have them start hanging out together and being buddy-buddy on TV. Maybe even going heel at some point. That's all you need. You don't need a whole faction. Tripod, $10 Super Chat. By the time you read this, it is officially my birthday, the big 3-9. One Jason to another. It's been a pleasure listening and watching. P.S. Do you know of any good barbecue spots in Brooklyn? You know, I should, but I don't. Believe it or not, I really don't. So Miguel is saying that he got death threats from fans. That's why Malachi was upset. Yeah, because fans are fucking psychotic. Wrestling fans are fucking psychos. I mean, that's not surprising to me at all. But hey, Tripod, happy birthday, brother. I hope that you have a great birthday. And I wish I had a better barbecue recommendation for you, but I just have not been to... I don't know, I haven't been to any barbecue spots in Brooklyn that I could think of, at least not in a very long time. I was at a good barbecue spot in Queens, actually, funny enough, before the Arthur Ashe show on... Arthur Ashe, not Arthur Ass. on Wednesday, and I can't even remember the name of it, but Brooklyn, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could tell you. Dr. Dakota Scorpio did not expect a full house, mostly in Rogers Arena. Love to see it. Do wish that WWE and AEW do more shows in Canada more often when they can. Well, AEW is going to be making their Canadian debut, I believe, is it October 12? I believe it's October 12. They're going to be in Toronto. Petroid 11. Calling it now. Sammy will surrender to save Jey Uso from getting the crap beaten out of him, and that gets him kicked out of the Bloodline. Telling you, man, that there's going to be a huge storyline twist with the Bloodline in that War Games match, revolving in some way around Sammy. Maybe that's it. But whatever it is, he'll cost them the match, he'll lose the match for them. It's got huge storyline implications in that War Games match. Larray, our new channel member, do you think Bray comes back as a new character or old? I think it'll be somewhat new. I don't see him wanting to come back exactly the way he was when we last saw him. I don't know if we'll ever see The Fiend again, if it'll be a new take on The Fiend. I would rather just leave The Fiend in the past. The Fiend is done. The Fiend is dead. I would rather see him come back with some kind of new persona. And I think he will. I think he'll evolve it in some way because, by all accounts, he's a really creative guy. He's always got these new ideas. He's been gone now for over a year, and I just can't imagine he would want to come back doing the exact same thing he was doing the last time we saw him. So I think it'll be something new. Maybe he'll come back in a bunny costume. Maybe he literally will be the White Rabbit. Maybe we'll find out that he was the bunny all along, the Adam Rose bunny. Maybe it was him the whole time. Maybe he'll be back in a fucking bunny costume. Food Hive. Your top five WWE matches has Undertaker against Shawn twice. That's how good they were. That's how great the chemistry was between them. And I'll tell you what, I really like their Ground Zero match too. But I wouldn't put that in my top five. King Bling Blah, favorite mystery build to a reveal. Me, Crack the Code. Oh, is that the Jericho one? Favorite mystery build to a reveal? I like the Millennium Countdown, even though I think most people knew what it was going to be. I think the Millennium Countdown for Jericho's debut in 99, I think was brilliant. You know, and he tells the story. He was in the post office one day and they had a countdown clock to the Millennium. And that's where the idea came from. So they manufactured that for television. And, of course, it led to one of the all-time great debuts in WWE history. I don't put it above Kane, but it's probably number two. It's got to be number two behind Kane. I might actually go Kane. Jericho, Taz had a great debut in Madison Square Garden, too. That might be my top three. Alto Johnson, do you feel Damage Control is burying Bayley? In a way, yeah, I think it is. And I also think that Bayley is burying Damage Control. It's just not working out for any of them. I don't think it's doing Bayley any good. And I think it's questionable whether or not it's doing any good for Dakota and Io. I can understand why they would want to do it. I know Bayley has wanted, she's had this idea. This was her idea. Vince McMahon didn't want to go for it, and now she was able to get it through under Triple H. This may be one of those situations where Vince was right. It's just, I don't know, so far it's just not working out. You know, I don't know, I can't say that it's any one thing. The booking certainly does not help for Dakota and Io so far. Even though they're the tag team champions, who gives a shit? Who cares? What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. They're losing on TV. What does it mean? Who are the number one contenders for the women's tag team titles? Do we even have number one contenders for the tag team titles? It's like, oh, we'll put the titles on them, and that way, you know, that they'll be pushed because they're the champs. Doesn't matter. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Rogers Arena is a new arena. A few years ago, the old arena was called Rexall Place or Sky Reach Center. As far as I remember, I was born in 93. Rizzo, Connor McJesus, a.k.a. McDavid, built that building in Edmonton. Connor McJesus? Is that his actual name? Or is he Spanish? And his name is Connor McJesus. You have to let me know. Do we have a lot of Hispanic hockey players in the NHL? I wouldn't think so. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, he played in the old Oilers arena. Okay, but that's the old arena. That's not the new arena. You can't say that he built the new arena if he never even played a single game there. Rizzo. I don't know how much I'll be around this week. I have my cousin's wedding in San Antonio on Saturday, but I'll be listening to the podcast. Well, I'll be here. So as long as you are able to listen to the shows, I got you covered. Connor McDavid, that's his name. Okay, Connor McDavid. Connor McJesus. Good Lord. Oh, boy. All right. So we got Rizzo. I love stuff like this White Rabbit Bray Wyatt tease, just like the smile stuff that's happening at baseball games lately. Although that is horrifying. That is fucking terrifying, actually. I've seen the commercials and the trailers for that movie, but yeah, I saw the baseball stuff, too, where you just see the smiling. Like, it's freaky. It's freaky. I don't know if I'm going to see that movie or not. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, the White Rabbit is Jason finally coming back from space, getting his revenge on those who wronged him. Thought you were talking about me. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Calgary gets the Hart family, Toronto gets guys like Edge and Christian, Montreal, Sammy and Kevin, but we in Edmonton get blank Benoit. You get he who shall not be named. Steven Escalante, can I get prayers for my dog passing away? It's been a week since she passed, had her for 17 years. Well, Steven, I am very sorry to hear that. Losing a pet sucks. I've been through that a couple of times, although not with a dog, but with a cat. But also for 17 years. That's a long time. You know, they become a member of your family. And, very sorry to hear that, so I am thinking about you, and I'm sure everybody in the chat is as well. Unfortunately, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the chat who can relate, so it sucks, but you know what? You are one of the lucky ones, because there's a lot of people who, I mean, I hear stories, I've had friends who have a dog or a cat, and they die, you know, 6 years, 8 years. To get 17 years, that's a hell of a run. King Bling Blah, do you think WrestleMania will go back to numbers or numerals? They already are. I mean, they've already been calling it WrestleMania 39, so I would say that that's progress. I think they will, yeah. Rizzo with the $20 Super Chat draw. Rizzo is on fire tonight. Rizzo is on fire. By the way, we are closing in, I'm told, on 500 likes, so... we may fall short of the 600 tonight, but you got a little bit of time left. Rizzo says, I think with Candace, her entrance music was her new one, which took me a while to remember. I know she wasn't able to use that theme song long because I believe she got pregnant shortly after they switched her music. Yeah, that's also part of it, is that you play the theme music and people don't even recognize the theme and they're just like, huh, who, what? But even after she came out, it was very obvious who it was. She didn't get a big reaction. JD from Texas, what should be done if Cody is not cleared by the Royal Rumble? You know, I hate to... I'll tell you what. If Cody is not ready by the time the Royal Rumble rolls around, then they better hope and pray that they can get The Rock in for that match with Roman Reigns or WrestleMania. If they could do Roman and The Rock, that's got to be the match regardless. If the titles still aren't split and Roman has them, you know, he'll be doing his thing with The Rock. If not, and they can't get Cody, I mean, look, I want to see Sammy and KO be the ones to take the tag titles from the Usos, but part of me also would love to see this story pay off with Sami Zayn challenging Roman Reigns for the championship. Right? I mean, what a story that would be if it ends up being Roman and Sammy. I think we'll get Cody Rhodes back. We have to think positive thoughts. I think it screws up a lot of things, frankly, if he's not back in time for the Rumble. But I think he'll be back. I think he'll make it back in time. Thunder Knight, if DIY get back together, they need to cut a promo on the Usos saying, we are DIY and you are DUI. Yeah, I don't think that promo is going to make TV. Toby Flanagan. Buy or sell, picture in picture, or full commercial break. Just go to a full commercial. If you have to take a fucking commercial break, just take the commercial break. Just go to commercial. I hate this picture in picture stuff. I really do. I don't even pay attention to it anyway. If you're going to go to a commercial, I can go get a snack. I can go take a piss. I could do a whole bunch of other things. I could drop down and do 15 push-ups, whatever I feel like doing. Just take the full commercial. It's like, you know... You put it in the little box. You don't hear anything anyway. You're just hearing the commercial. It's completely distracting. I hate the picture-in-picture. I think the picture-in-picture is very stupid. Jay Baker, Malachi just did a live Instagram rant. Poor guy. Yes, Miguel in the chat mentioned that. But again, I'd love to know exactly what it was that set him off. What, somebody said death threats. I mean, was it that? Was it something else? I'd love to know exactly why he went off. We got Dr. Dakota. Guess you could say Edge was going in Raw. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I guess you could say that. Devin from New Jersey 2000. Buy or sell. What's worse and more of an embarrassment? CM Punk AEW media scrum or the Will Smith Oscar slap? I mean, the Will Smith Oscar slap is more embarrassing. You can't do that. You can't walk up on stage and just smack the guy in the face and then go back to your seat and not expect that, as he was, you're not going to be banned from the award. I think he's banned for the next 10 years or something like that. That's just fucking embarrassing beyond belief. That you would just walk up to the guy and smack him in the face in the middle of a live award show like that. And the only reason he did it was because... I don't even think he wanted to do it. The only reason he did it was because Jada was sitting off to the side and she's got him, you know, on like a fucking ball and chain here. She's dragging him around everywhere. And he was like, ah, shit, I better do something now or I'm never going to hear the end of this. And then, so sure enough, he goes up there and smacks, you know, Chris Rock and... I mean, all the stories about that, what a weird fucking relationship that is to begin with. I'm not even sure they're together anymore. Aren't they getting a divorce? Isn't that the rumor or the report now that they're no longer together? What a weird relationship that's always been. HBKC83, in your opinion, when is the time to get AJ back into the main event picture? I think we may see AJ challenging Roman Reigns on one of these pay-per-views in the next few months. Maybe even the Royal Rumble. They've been working house shows together. The last few house shows, Roman Reigns and AJ Styles are wrestling in the main event. To me, that's a sign that they are preparing to go forward with that match on TV. That's not going to be a WrestleMania match. I mean, I think that could be a hell of a WrestleMania match, but I could see that being the... I don't even know. Do they have a TLC pay-per-view in December? TLC, Royal Rumble. I think we could see Styles and Roman Reigns, yeah. I don't think it'll be very long. I think we're going to see AJ back in the main event picture very soon. Al, can the Mets win the World Series? Of course. Absolutely. It's theirs to lose. Of course the Mets can win the World Series. They're going to win over 100 games this year. Mr. Notorious Chico, what if Sammy and not Cody is being the one groomed to take Roman's title? As you know, Sammy can be a great babyface champion. You know, he can be, but I just don't... I don't know if that's how they view him. I don't know if they see him as being the guy. Whoever's going to beat Roman is going to be the guy. I love Sammy. I don't see him being the guy. But as I said a moment ago, if they can't get Cody back for some reason, if it's not Roman and The Rock or Roman and Cody, Roman and Sammy, man, it would be very tempting. I would love to see that match. Hey, Andre, thank you for the sub. I just, for him to be the one to take the championships from Roman, I don't see that happening. Would it make for a great story and a great payoff? Fuck yeah. But then you've got Sami Zayn now as the top champion in the company. Do you see him in that spot? Do you see the company getting behind him as, you know, like the next Roman Reigns? I don't see that. I don't think that's in the cards. I think the tag team title win with KO is a lot more realistic. Rizzo with the $5 super chat. I think Solo is the one who turns on Sammy. Sokoa, not you. Yes, I figured that. That would be the twist, considering he was the one who defended Sammy a lot. Could be. Pillow v. Pillow. Have you ever met Brian Zane? Yes, I have. I met Brian Zane in Las Vegas when I was there for the first Double or Nothing. Not only did I meet Brian Zane, we covered this on Twitter that whole weekend. We did karaoke together. So... there's a picture floating around of me wearing a wig. So let me tell this story real quick. So there was a press conference that weekend before Double or Nothing. And I was kind of covering it as media, I guess you would say. So I was standing up and everyone is sitting behind me. And there's a guy, a very obnoxious guy, sitting in the seat next to where I'm standing. And he has clearly a phony wig and he's got like a phony beard on. He's being very obnoxious as Cody and Brandy are on stage trying to speak. So it doesn't take me very long to realize who's in the disguise. It's MJF. And he's yelling and screaming and the security guy comes over and he pulls the stuff off and reveals that it's MJF. And he picks MJF up over his shoulder and he carries him out of the press conference. So somehow I end up with this wig. Okay, but I don't think I took the wig with me. Fast forward later on, we had made plans to finally meet up, and there was a karaoke place, and it was Brian Zane, and it was me, and some of my friends, and a couple of other people. It was in one of these small rooms, and the wig ends up in the room, and I'm like, that's MJF's wig. They go, yeah. So there's a picture floating around of me wearing the wig that MJF was wearing. I look ridiculous. I look like fucking Van Halen or something from the 80s in this picture. But yeah, no, we did karaoke that night and got to hang out with Brian for a little bit, and it was fun. It's hard to believe that was, shit, 3 years ago now, 3.5 years ago, but good times. Good times. Rizzo says, no, it's McDavid, but us hockey fans call him McJesus because he's the best hockey player on the planet. Okay, I got it. It's like the people that call me Solo Jesus. Now it makes sense. See, that I understand. Joseph Brooks with the $9.99. Buy or sell on which of these dream feuds would have had the best program and matches during their respective periods. Stone Cold Steve Austin against Brian Pillman in 98, or Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero in 06. I would have loved to have seen Stone Cold and Brian Pillman in 98. And I believe that had Pillman been healthy and he did not have the accident and he could go just like he used to be able to go, and didn't pass away when he did, that would have been Austin's first feud coming out of WrestleMania 14. It would not have been with Dude Love. It would have been with Brian Pillman. And I think Pillman at some point would have gotten the championship. You would have had him and Austin trading it back and forth. I'm sure the two of them would have loved to have worked together. That would have been fun. See, the matches, like technically work rate-wise, Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero could have had better matches. By that point, though, in 06, if Eddie had lived, Eddie was not the same Eddie that he was years earlier. He was getting older. His body was breaking down. He was all roided up. I mean, him and Benoit both. They were so fucking roided up. You know, they were not the same workers that they were years earlier. So it was not going to be the Eddie Guerrero of the late 90s or even the early 2000s against Shawn Michaels. But they still would have gone out there and had a kick-ass match. Austin and Pillman, though, that's the match that appealed to me. That would have been more fun, I think. That would have been more of a great program. Beyond the matches, it just would have been a great program, a great feud. Would have made for great television during the Attitude Era. It would have fit perfectly. Brian Pillman in the Attitude Era would have fit perfectly. Dr. Dakota. I was wrong, guys. Like Tyler Breeze, Chelsea Green, and Taya Morrison and Kyle O'Reilly are from Vancouver, Canada. Rizzo, Brock Roman again, if Cody isn't back. You know what? Shit. You're probably right. If they can't get The Rock, and frankly, even if they get Cody back, I'm still not convinced that they'll end up doing the right thing. We could get Brock and Roman. So for those who don't know, Brock Lesnar is scheduled to be at Crown Jewel. Now, who he's going to wrestle, I don't know. Supposedly, it's not Goldberg. Goldberg is not scheduled to be on that show. Although I worry, because Goldberg is going to be on The Bump this week. WWE, they have that Bump show. But I think that's just for the 25th anniversary of his debut. So Goldberg is not scheduled for Saudi Arabia. Brock Lesnar is. So let the speculation begin as to who Brock Lesnar is going to be getting into the ring with. You know, Braun Strowman is back. They could do Brock and Braun. I don't know if they want to beat Braun this soon, though. But supposedly Brock Lesnar, that's the rumor I saw. I don't know where it originated, if it was a credible source or not, but that seems to be the rumor. That seems to be the rumor, that Brock is going to be at Crown Jewel. We got the Atagaratsu. Is it just me, or does the Reigns and Zayn angle have Rock and Sock connection vibes? There are differences, but I do see similarities to that angle. Yeah, I mean, there's similarities, but they're not going to end up as a team, so it's not exactly the same thing. Paul Heyman. Is Seth Rollins still eligible to send a PayPal donation to the show? For $10 or more, if he wants the nickname Rambo Apocalypse. Absolutely. He is more than welcome to donate. And I will give him whatever nickname it is that he wants. I will call him Chester Copperpot. Whatever he wants to be called. Hiru. Shamrock liked my tweet about being the special guest referee for the Fight Pit match. Hope that Triple H brings him in. I do too. And Devin from NJ, have the fans turned on Tony Khan? I don't think they turned on Tony Khan. I think the people who don't like Tony Khan don't like Tony Khan, and the people who do still like him. So I don't know that the fans have turned on Tony Khan. See, there's this thing where if people have issues with the booking or they have issues with AEW, all of a sudden they've turned on you. I have plenty of issues with AEW. I haven't turned on Tony Khan. There's a lot that he does that I like, and there's a lot of stuff he does that I don't like. I don't know if you could say people have turned on Tony Khan. I mean, what does that mean? By criticizing him, criticizing his decisions, have you turned on him? I think that's pretty dumb. I wouldn't say that. Someone needs to tell WWE bump is slang for doing a hit of coke. I'll tell you what, the bump would have been a great show back in the late 80s. Thunder Knight has been with us for 14 months as a channel member. Do you think Triple H will do away with the red Hell in a Cell? Probably not. I wish he would, though. I just think it's ugly as fuck. You know, because then they either have to have a new cell. I mean, they could probably just repaint it, I guess, but I don't know. They seem to like the red cell. I think it just looks really, really stupid. There was nothing wrong with the silver chain link fence. It does not look any more demonic or intimidating. I just think visually it actually just looks bad. But I don't even know if he's thought about that. Rizzo, I just tagged you in something on Twitter during a damage control backstage segment. In the background, a person in a buzzard costume is running. I did not see anybody in a buzzard costume, but I will have to check that out when we are done here. See, now everybody's going to think they see things now. They say, I think I saw Bigfoot, you know, running in the backstage area. That's what happens when you play these kinds of games with all these clues and stuff. People start imagining that they're seeing things. I'm not saying that you imagined it. I'm just saying you're going to hear a lot of things that people claim to have seen that may or may not actually be there. Didn't I and Brian sing Ba with the Ba by Kid Rock? Yes. And I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, I think that may have been JD's fault. I think it was JD who actually had me singing Ball with the Ball. And I think I put a curse on him for that. Have I been to Dave and Buster's? Yes, I've been to Dave and Buster's. I've been to the one in Times Square. Rizzo says, it's really quick, and some comments are saying it's just a production guy with a headset. Jesus Christ. See, so maybe you did see something that wasn't actually there. You saw a guy with a headset on thinking it was a buzzard. I'm telling you, you're going to start to see things now that aren't there. Thomas, did anyone notice the red rabbit over Otis's head in their backstage segment? Everybody is losing their minds now. They're seeing animals. They're seeing different creatures. Soon you're going to start seeing Loch Ness. Devin, I just meant with the fans booing when he appears. No, I wouldn't go as far as to say they're turning on him. I mean, how many times do we even see him on TV? He makes very few appearances on TV. And in that situation, when they booed him on screen, it was right after All Out. And I think that people were just upset that they weren't seeing CM Punk and the Elite. So they booed Tony Khan. I don't think that's going to be a regular thing where every time he shows up, he gets booed. Drew McIncock. Can I call you Solomonster? Hams off. I'd prefer that you don't. But you do what you need to do. Drew McIncock. He's become one of our regulars here in the chats. I love you, Drew. Hope there's footage of me singing. You know, I think there is footage, and if it's up to me, it will never see the light of day. There's a lot of footage that has been shot that will never see the light of day. Rizzo says, Black said, no conspiracy. I will be back in AEW soon. That's what he ranted on Instagram, and I actually saw his videos, so this is real. Well, again, I mean, that's a sensible person. Trying to shut all this stuff down and say, I'm not going anywhere. Look, I said this on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Not even this Sunday, the Sunday before. When I first talked about Malachi, when he made those comments at the Prestige Wrestling Show, he had an independent match. He got on the mic after the match, And he said, this is not goodbye. This is just, you know, see you soon. I need to take time. I need to go away for a little bit, a few weeks, maybe a few months. And I said, when he comes back, he will be back in AEW. Give it a few months and Malakai will be back. Buddy Matthews may be back as well. The House of Black may rise again. Right now, the House of Black has collapsed. The House may rise again at some point. If Malakai has 4 years left on his AEW deal, Tony Khan is not going to just let him walk into WWE, when evidently you have all these other people who also would love to go work for Triple H. You got Malakai Black signed to a 5-year contract. He served 1 year of that. I don't know what these promises made that were not fulfilled that he talked about in that Instagram statement. I don't know if that was specifically directed at Tony Khan. It sure sounded like it. I'd love to know what those were. He brought it up. He's the one who made that public. I would love to know what these promises were that he claims were made to him that were broken. Doesn't mean that it's not something he and Tony Khan can't work through. But it was very unlikely that Tony Khan was just going to let him out of his contract to go back to Triple H, go back to WWE. So yes, if he wants to wrestle again, it's going to have to be in AEW. So if that's what he said, I'm glad he put that shit to bed. Uffman Entertainment, out of all of Vince McMahon's famous quotes as commentator, where do you rank That's Gotta Be Kane? It's pretty high up there. Yeah, people will say The Boyhood Dream or WrestleMania 12. That's Gotta Be Kane is one of his top calls. I think that's one of his most memorable calls. Hey, Hugh, thank you for the super chat. Miguel said he didn't have a 5-year contract. Well, then he and Tony Khan need to get on the same page, because the only reason that I am saying that he has a 5-year contract or had a 5-year contract is because Tony Khan himself went on Busted Open Radio and said that Malakai Black and Adam Cole, I think he specifically singled the two of them out, I believe. And I believe for both of them, he said they had 5-year deals. So you can blame Tony Khan for that. I would think Tony Khan is well aware of how long he has these people signed to contracts for. He knows the contract terms better than we do. He's the one who went on Busted Open Radio weeks and weeks ago and made that comment. So if now Malakai is saying he's not on a 5-year deal, he should probably take that up with his boss. Do I think Solo Sikoa will sympathize and side with Sammy when the bloodline turn on him? No, I think when the turn comes, I think the entire bloodline will be pretty much in lockstep. I think you have to do a clean break to make the story work with, you know, him and Owens going after Jimmy and Jay. I mean, you could do a story where Solo is kind of caught in the middle and doesn't necessarily want to turn on Sammy. I'll tell you what. As I think about this in real time, you could do a story where Solo just, you know, kind of wants to stand on his own. And maybe he does have a liking for Sammy and he doesn't want to turn his back on him like his brothers do and Roman, you know, probably will. And it could be a way to break him away from the bloodline as a babyface on his own. Although I think the bloodline right now is the best place for him to be. But you could do that story. You could do that story. And in fact, you build to WrestleMania. You've got the Usos against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And we don't know where Solo Sikoa's allegiance lies. That could be where Solo Sikoa makes it very clear that, you know what? I'm not going to help you guys. You know, you're my blood. You're my brothers. But he actually either doesn't help the Usos when they look to him at one point for help, or he helps Sammy. And maybe that's what gives them the win. Is Solo Sikoa saying, you know what? I stand with Sammy. And he turns on his brothers. He doesn't help his brothers. Jimmy and Jay lose the tag team titles. So, yeah, I could see that, I guess. You could always do that. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me here on a Monday night. An episode of Raw that, for the most part, I enjoyed. Hopefully, it will continue. We're going to be live again on Wednesday night for AEW Dynamite. Jon Moxley is having what they're calling a World Championship Eliminator match against Juice Robinson, who I guess Juice holds a win over him in New Japan, and that's the logic that Tony Khan has come up with for why Juice is getting a match here with Moxley on Wednesday. And Saraya is going to speak. So Paige will make her first appearance on Dynamite this week. And Rizzo says, props to the chat for stalling you so that we hit 600. Oh, did we hit 600? I didn't even know. Yes, we did. And here I was about to check out. I thought you guys had fallen short, but look at this. We have broken 600 likes, which means we hit our goal for the night, which means we are indeed going to have to do Be the Booker here before we get out of here. You guys are awesome. Look at that. Coming in right at the buzzer. A buzzer beater here on the Monday Night Raw stream. Let's Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
I almost went off the air without even realizing that you guys had hit the goal. So, let's begin Be the Booker for tonight. A very popular segment here on these streams. We will begin here with the men's Be the Booker. And funny enough, we were just talking about him a few minutes ago. The legend himself, Eddie Guerrero. That's from his championship win. That picture is from No Way Out in 2004 when he beat Brock Lesnar. Wouldn't it be something if I land on Shawn Michaels after what we just talked about? I mean, we've had some weird outcomes here on Be the Booker before. It's possible. Shawn's in there, so let's see. Let's see. Oh, man, I would freak the fuck out if it lands on Shawn Michaels. How great would that be? Eddie Guerrero is going to go one-on-one with Bob Barker. That is definitely not Shawn Michaels. Although I'll tell you what, the way he's looking these days, that's going to be Shawn Michaels in about 5 years. The price is wrong tonight. Eddie Guerrero was good, but he wasn't that good. Eddie Guerrero against Bob Barker. What a match. What a match. Oh, Bob Barker is still alive, believe it or not. He's got to be closing in on his centennial birthday. He's got to be closing in on 100. See, we lost Betty White right, but like 2 weeks before she turned 100. So we'll see if Bob Barker makes it. There will never be a better game show host than Bob Barker. He was the best. So on the ladies' side, we begin with Maryse. Oh, the lovely Maryse. This is young Maryse here in this picture. Picturesque Maryse. Yeah, you can crap on The Miz and hate on The Miz all you want. I know Miz has a lot of haters out there, but man, you know what? If nothing else in life, this guy is winning, I'll tell you that. All right, let's see who Maryse is going to go up against. She is a former women's champion. Maryse, one-on-one with Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa and Maryse. It's not a match I ever thought about, but I think that could work. Thunder Rosa and Maryse. Thunder Rosa still dealing with a back injury. Hopefully she'll be back soon. She'll take on Toni Storm in a champion versus champion match whenever she's ready to come back. And now we end with the tag team Be the Booker. We begin with good old JR, Jim Ross, and Jerry the King Lawler. As tag teams go, they were one of the best. They are not the best. They were one of the best. The best duo on commentary was Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. And the second best duo on commentary was Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura. But Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler would be my number three. My number four would be Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. That's my top four right there. So let's see who JR and the King are going to be stepping into the ring with. Didn't JR and the King, they had at least one tag team match together. It might have been, was it against Bischoff and Morley? I feel like it might have been Chief Morley and Eric Bischoff. JR and the King taking on the Midnight Express. I'll tell you what, I'm giving that the bell because you've got Jerry Lawler in there with the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette in their corner. All Jim Ross has to do is stand on the apron. Jim Ross can stand on the apron and do commentary for it. You put Jerry Lawler in there, though, with the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette out there running around. Old school wrestling. I got to give that the bell. So there you go. Be the booker. You got two bells and a buzzer. 2 out of 3 is what you get for tonight. Old school wrestling, Memphis style, Cornette, Lawler, Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express. Nothing beats old school wrestling. How did we make it to be the... Well, Drew's been sleeping at the wheel here. He doesn't even know how we did be the booker. He thought we weren't doing it tonight. They got a second win, that's how. All right, thank you again. Thank you for getting me to the like goal here during the stream. I'm sure all you guys watching on the download will get us closer to 1,000. I'm going to be live with you again on Wednesday night. We'll talk Dynamite, and then live again on Friday. That'll be the final stream for the month of September. This has been one of our biggest months ever. So I thank you for that. And all of our new channel members that we picked up tonight, thank you again for 71,000 subs. That's huge. And now we march on to 72,000. So be well, stay safe. If you missed it, go back and check out episode 775 of the podcast from Sunday. And I will see you back here for more Sound Off Live on Wednesday after AEW Dynamite. Take care, guys.